Good morning. Great to see all you guys here this morning. Well, last weekend was a blast, wasn't it? We had a great, great time. It was just so good. I have bragged on the staff and just everybody involved. Everybody just blew Catherine and I away, my family. We so appreciated the weekend. And just a lot of surprises and just a lot of fun. More than anything else for us, it was celebrating what the Lord has done. God's done a marvelous work here on the hill. Would you say amen to that? Amen. He has. There are some of you that have been here for a great part of the journey. Others are maybe just starting with us on that journey. But just to know that God's presence is here. His hand is on the steering wheel. I believe that. I got a great group of men and women around me that I believe God has just sovereignly brought together who hunger to know what He wants them to do, and then they want to be obedient doing it. And so I'm so hopeful and looking forward to the future and what God is going to do here on the hill, and that Catherine and I get to watch that unfold. And so we're totally excited about that. I want us to look this morning for a new series that I want to do for you guys. And this has really come out of part of my journey in my own life. And just talking about our seasons. God's Word talks about seasons. And it's important, if I'm going to understand what God is doing in my life, and you're going to understand what He's doing in your life, you understand the concept of seasons. Because our Father works in that. And so if you notice that we're talking about being thankful in all the seasons as we go through different seasons of our life, like winter, spring, summer, and fall. And then today I want to think about that above everything else, you and I ought to want to grow spiritually in whatever season it is that God has us in. Because the thing you understand and I want you to grasp is that our Father is sovereign about the season you and I find ourselves in. You're in some kind of season, and it didn't just happen. God is controlling that. God's Word is very clear that He grows us, He expands us, He enlarges us by taking us through life experiences. Now watch this, where different pressures are put on our life that bring us to brokenness, bring us to a place to where we see things about ourselves that we didn't see before. And so we go through these times of pressure, difficulty, and challenge that many times will put us on our face and bring us to the place to where our eyes are open and we see something that we hadn't been able to see before. And so God's first mention of the importance of seasons, and I give you some text for this in the message, is Genesis 8. Verse 22, he says, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." Now that's the Father God speaking and teaching us. And so God is saying that right after the flood, God made a promise to you and me and to all generations. And He said, as long as the earth stands, as long as we're waiting on the second coming of Christ, there will be four seasons and there will be night and day. And then God goes on in Scripture and He establishes this pattern. He says there's going to be a pattern of seasons in your life and in mine. This is in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Listen to what the Bible says. "For everything," meaning even in the lives of men, "there is a season, there is a time for every matter under heaven." I like the New Century Version that puts it this way. Everything on earth in the lives of men has its special season. So the Bible says, just like our planet goes through these four distinct seasons, unless you live in Texas and then it's just basically two. Hot and then less hot, right? I guess in a way. There are four distinct seasons that they enable plant growth, right? And they are distinct to the days of our life as well. I'm going to go through seasons, you're going to go through seasons, Catherine and I are going to go through seasons that produce spiritual growth. That's what God is seeking to do. This is one of the things he's been working into my life. So let me apply this to where you live. Every couple here, every single person here are listening online this morning. You are right now in some particular season of life. You have to be in some season. And here's the insight. If you've got your life point outline, the seasons of our lives, our marriages, our jobs, and our relationships are God's tools to encourage you and me to grow in our faith. And why does God put me in a season? God puts me in a season to test me. He already knows, but the season shows me what I've learned and what I hadn't learned. The season teaches me where I really am spiritually, and where I may have thought I was someplace spiritually, and God put me through a season to say, no, you're really not where you think you are, or you're doing better than what you think you are. And so the seasons are for testing and proving what we've learned. So have you figured out, if you're married, have you figured out that a lot of times you are in one season and your spouse is in another one? Yay, that makes for fun. Things in the husband's life don't mesh with the seasons in the wife's life. Husbands and wives, if you and I forget the truth of seasons, then as a couple, the two of you are either going to be always growing together or growing apart. And I want you to think about that. If you feel like that you're growing apart as a couple, it may be because you're failing to realize that you're in one season and she or he is in another one, and you're not being understanding of each other. And you're not helping each other to navigate that season. So let me just kind of restate what I've said. According to Genesis 8 and 22, God has set up four distinct seasons of weather, and he has also established seasons of human activity. Let me go back to Ecclesiastes 3:1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. So here's the truth. You and I have to go through various seasons in order to mature and grow. And so it has to happen. Just like seasons have to change in order for plant growth to take place. There needs to be cold, there needs to be also be heat, right? And so the same thing needs to happen in my life and your life. So let me talk about for just a moment. Let me talk about and give us some insight about the seasons that God teaches us in the Word. All right? So number one, in your life point outline, I cannot command the seasons, I live through them. You have to understand, you cannot command the season. You live through it. You and I, we cannot control when we're going through a season, and I cannot control how long I'm going to be in it. And that's something I need to understand. We mark the four seasons of our planet by our location on the calendar, right? So we're in November, so we know we're expecting fall. We're going to be in fall season, and it's not going to be long until winter is going to be coming. Now, contrast that. Let me give you this insight. The seasonal changes of your life, how do I mark the changes of seasons in my life? Usually it's going to be I'm going to have an irritation, I'm going to have an interruption, I'm going to have an inconvenience. That's usually how we notice that we're entering into a new season. Our life gets disrupted. It gets kind of turned upside down. Usually when we enter a new season, you will notice that like all of a sudden your schedule gets changed. And you wanted it one way. Any plans that you had kind of get thrown out the door. And your life is upside down. And so if you feel like you're kind of upside down right now, that what you planned is not working out, understand you're going through a seasonal change. And you're about to go into a different season. So let me talk about that a bit. Let me give you an insight in your outline. Grief is a season of life. All of us are going to go through grief. And so we go through it many times in our life. An extended illness that you cannot control. That's a grief. Would you agree with that? I mean, you can really get down. I think, I really believe in my heart, just I think the insight that we're getting and learning, COVID was a season. We went through a season. And God let us be pressed. Many believers have not recovered from the seasonal change of COVID. There are believers who have become cynical. They become depressed, off their game. And they don't realize they're in a season of grief. It was a hard time. We lost a lot of people, didn't we? A lot of people died. And a lot of people had irreversible physical changes. You know what we need to embrace? We need to embrace grieving because it's a real part. That's a loss. And you have to walk through grief. As a parent, how many of you experienced a child growing up and leaving home? Raise your hand, right? Is that not a grief? I remember when Joel Weston, our youngest one, I remember the day, and Catherine probably does too, when he got in that car of his, that Acura, and he drove out of our neighborhood. And Catherine and I stood there in the driveway, you know, watching our baby drive off going to school. And we were just kind of standing there looking, you know, like deer caught in the headlights. And he drove off. Catherine went one way and I went another. You know, why? That was hard. There was our baby. And we stayed in grief because he never came home. Except to wash clothes and eat. And each of us in this room will experience a grief. A child grows up, moves out, or marries, that's a loss. And you have to walk through that grief. Each of us in this room are going to experience a death in the family. And here's a sure thing. We can biblically know what seasons we will have in our lifetime. We can know that. And I've shared that with you. But here's what I want you to understand. We will never know the season that is coming next. And we don't know when it's going to come. And you just have to understand it. So here's the next insight in your outline. Waiting is a season of life. You're waiting and you keep waiting. You and I will have seasons of waiting. Why? Because so many times in our lives, our life and the things that happen are beyond our control. We can't get a hold of it. If we could control it, we wouldn't have to wait. You and I cannot command the seasons of our life. And let me give you a reason why. Here's the truth in your outline. God determines the season of the moment, and God determines its duration. That's a God thing. I get that in Daniel chapter 2, verse 21. This is in the International Standard Version. Listen to what the Bible says. It is God who alters the times and the seasons. God removes kings and he promotes kings. What does that tell us if it doesn't say God is in control? God's in control. God sets up certain people as leaders and he disposes of others. God established me as pastor here years ago. And now God has said it is time for a season change in your life. And that was something I had really had to work through. My main thing was understanding that this is, Father, what you want. I want to be certain of that. And so God made that really clear. But God also had to make that clear about a seasonal change in Pastor Todd's life because he was going strong in the direction of student ministry. But to understand that we're in a season change. And so God is in control of world events as well as the days of my life and yours. And you listen, you can pray, you can wish, you can hope for a change in your days. But what you and I need, instead of asking God, please change this, please stop this, we need to be praying, Father, what are you trying to teach me? What do I need to learn in this season? Because God is up to something. God is doing something in your life. So the insight of your outline, our world today looks bleak and worrisome. But the Bible says God is in ultimate control and it is moving toward a destiny that God has in mind. God is in control. Number two, the seasons of our lives are usually confusing. And here's the insight. We usually understand the season that we're in when it ends. And I say usually because there are going to be times where we're going to be in a season that's going to come to an end and we're not going to understand why we went through what we went through. Why do we go through that? I don't understand. And there's going to be some things we won't understand until we get to heaven. During the ministry here on the Hill, I don't know how many times I've sat across from a counselee in my office and they have said, "Brother John, why is this happening to me?" What they're asking is, "Why am I in this season?" I don't know. And they ask, what good can come to this? What good can come out of that? You see, the answer to that question is between them and their Creator. And it usually comes when the season ends, when it's over with. So here's the next insight. Understanding the purpose of our season is usually hindsight rather than foresight. We look back and we say, "Oh, now I understand." There will be some seasons that will come to us and we will never understand this side of eternity, why we went through what we went through. And so let me address that. What do you do when you're in a season that doesn't make sense? Or you come through a season and you don't understand what that was all about? How do you ward off depression? How do you ward off doubt of God's love? Because I experienced that. This is what I've been doing for 50 years. What am I supposed to replace this with? And I'm like, "God, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know everything that's coming at." God reveals that in a need-to-know basis. All right? All Catherine I know is we're going to be here, and we want to love you guys. We want to minister. We want to do counseling. We want to do whatever God has for us. We understand just a little bit. But how do you ward off depression, doubting God's love, fear when the days of your life don't change? And so you need to ask yourself, maybe watching online or here, are you cynical after COVID? Maybe you lost a loved one. Do you have lingering health issues that you can't shake the spirit of fear? All those kind of things coming out of the season you've been in. Listen to Psalm 61, verse 2. "When my heart is overwhelmed," David said, "lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Now, in Psalm 61, David was in a season of confusion, or a season of exhaustion, or a season of weariness. And he was the king, and yet something was going on in his life. Whatever had happened, David felt like that life had come to a standstill. He said, "I can't go any further." He was at the end of what he felt like that he could handle. Can you identify with that? We all get that way, don't we? All of us have those times, and maybe today is your time. So what do you do? Here's what David said. Listen to what he said. He said, "When your heart is overwhelmed," he said, "there is someone who is like a rock to stand on when you are emotionally drowning." There will always be life events, guys, seasons that cannot be explained by anyone who walks this earth. You and I are going to go through things. We're going to go through times, and God is seeking to grow us and to mature us, and we're going to experience things in this world that don't make sense. And we're going to think, "God, where is your hand? Why am I going through what I'm going through? Why did I lose that? Why did that come into my life?" And there's not going to be anybody that can explain that to you who walks this earth. So what do you do as a child of God? How do you keep your perspective? How do you wrap your brain around that? The answer is Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10. Listen to what David said. He said, "Who is among you that you fear the Lord?" You love God. You know God's got a purpose and a plan for your life. And then he says, "But you walk in darkness and you have no light." You can't understand. You can't explain what's going on in your life. So what do? You keep reading. This is what he says. He said, "Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God." Here's what God is saying. When you don't understand your days, you don't understand the silence of heaven, what do? You stand on what you do know. You stand on what you understand. You trust Him that God will at the right time bring you out. Why? Because you know He's God. You know He loves you. You've met Him. You've encountered Him. He has changed you. And you know the Word of God is always true. And when you don't understand what's going on, you stand. Amen. You stand on what you know. And you trust that in time, God will let me understand what I need to understand. Or He says, I want you to walk by faith until you get home, and then you'll understand. There are going to be events in our lives that we will never understand on this earth. That's right. Nobody can explain it to you. Nobody can explain it to you. So here's the insight. God doesn't owe me an explanation. I owe Him trust. God said, do you trust me? Why? Because He goes all the way back to the garden. Eve ate of the fruit. Why? Because she did not trust the Father. God said, don't eat of it. Satan said, God knows if you eat of it, you'll be like Him. And she didn't trust God. And that's what got her into sin. How often did Jesus say to those who followed Him and questioned Him, oh, you of little what? Faith. Why did you doubt? The Christian life is lived by faith, guys, not explanations. That's how we live the life. And so, number three, every season serves a purpose of God. The changing seasons of our lives is one reason, I think, why the Holy Spirit gave us Romans 8 and 28. We know, there are things we know, aren't you glad? We know that all that happens to us is working for our good if we love God and are fitting into His plans. Listen, everything doesn't work for good for everybody. But only for those who love God and are the called according to His purpose. They're fitting their life into His plans. In other words, you are trusting God with the days of your life. And God says, when you lay your life in my hands, I will work everything in your life to your good. So the question in your outline, where are you on the trust scale regarding the times of your life? Lord, am I trusting you? The basic truth of Scripture is this. If you are a believer, if you know that you're a child of God, I go, this is my mind. I know, Lord, I belong to you. I know you've called me. I know you've placed me. If we are a believer, nothing comes into our life that isn't filtered by our Heavenly Father. Let me give you a text you can read later on, but I want to read it for you. It's John 10, 27. The sheep, Jesus said, the sheep that are my own hear and are listening to my voice. And He said, I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And listen, and they shall never lose it or perish throughout the ages. To all eternity, they shall never by any means be destroyed. Now listen to what Jesus said. And no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. So where is every child of God? In the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Scripture says. You right now are in His preservative hands. All right? That's Jesus. Then Jesus says, my Father, who has given them to me, is greater and mightier than all. Listen, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. There's you and me. Jesus has got His hands around us, and the Father has His hands around the hands of Christ. In order for anything to get to you or to get to me, it's got to go through the will of the Father and the permission of Jesus Christ before it can ever get to you. Amen. That's God's promise. He said, you may not understand it. It may not make sense, and you may feel like you're experiencing hell on earth, but He says, you understand nothing can touch you except, first of all, it comes through the Father and through the Son in order to get to you. God said, I've got you. So where, when you were saved, you were, Jesus said, in His hands of protection. And what God is saying is your life and my life isn't random. We don't have freak accidents that just happen. God is watching over us. God never does anything by accident. And He has appointed a time for everything in my life and yours. He appointed a time for us to be born. He appointed a time already for us to die. And I've shared this so many times during COVID that God just put it in my heart. And God is simply saying is, don't you fear COVID. Don't tempt me. Don't get out and act a fool. But he said, don't fear COVID. Why? Because nothing can touch you unless the Father permits it. And COVID will not kill you before your time if you're walking with him. Amen?
Amen.
That's scripture. So don't misunderstand. What I'm saying here is God doesn't plan bad things and events in our lives. Bad things happen in my life and yours because of bad decisions, because of the bad decisions of other people in our lives and around us. So here's the insight. God can take every single event of my life and yours, no matter how dark or shameful or bad we feel about it, and he can bring good out of it and work it to fulfill his plan for man. So a lot that happens in my life and yours still isn't good. But God can, if we give him all the pieces, he can bring good out of it. So Lord, bring good out of what I'm going through. Which brings me to number four. The seasons of life have good and bad times. They got good and bad times. So your life is full of contrast. You know, we go through mountains and valleys, right? We go through success and then there's failure. We go through winning and we go through losing. Ecclesiastes 2 through verse 8 says that there are 28 different life experiences. But that's not all that there are. In weather, there are four seasons. But in my life and your life, there are dozens and dozens of life seasons. So many different kinds. Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to laugh, a time to cry, a time to find, a time to lose. And so what God's saying is life is a combination of contrasting seasons. And some of us are going through a season right now, and it isn't pretty. And you know what? God has sovereignly brought you here this morning. God's had me on my face all week working this into my life for you and for me. God wants you to understand, you're in a season right now that maybe isn't beautiful. It's ugly. Maybe your finances are ugly. And you don't understand why. Your health looks ugly. Your relationships, your marriage, your friendships look ugly. Your future looks ugly. But God said, understand, son or daughter of mine, that I can bring good out of it and I can make something good out of it if you give me the pieces and let me do it in my time. In my time. Which brings me to number five. What we sow in one season, we reap in another. I want you to listen real carefully. You know, farmers live by this. Farmers know that you sow in the spring and you reap in the fall, right? You can't plant today and reap tomorrow. There's got to be time. Everybody understand that? You with me? Okay, so you and I often want life to be that way. We want to do something. We want an automatic return from it. And I haven't talked about this in a long time, but let me talk for you just a minute about tithing. Not about legalism, so I'm not trying to get anybody's wallet. I just want you to listen. I want God's favor and blessing on you. Some people got on the tithing train, and I see this through the years, and they tithe, and then they quit. And they quit because God didn't send the financial blessing when they thought he would. And so they got discouraged and they just quit. And here's the insight I want to give you. Tithing is planting seed in one season and it is reaping in another. And when tithing is a way of life, when it's a way of life, then you enter a life of financial reaping and providential protection and provision, listen, that builds over time. The blessings begin to pour. Whatever season you're in today, how you respond determines your tomorrow. That's why the Bible says, do not be weary in well-doing, because in due season you shall reap if you faint not. In other words, if you don't give up on tithing, you will enter into a rhythm of tithing blessing. So in other words, I have to prime the pump. I start doing what God's given a promise. He said, you give the first off the top to me. You give it to me. God gets the first. He gets the best. I give that to you. Why? Because, Father, I want your hand of favor on me. And I know, God, you've never promised me in Scripture I'd be rich. But you've promised that you'd be with me as I come in and I go out. Amen. My hand will be with you. And I see it in Malachi. I see the law that is there, the principle that's there. As we give God the first, we bring in the tithe. God claimed it all the way back in the Old Testament. We put you first. We are put into a season of favor and blessing. And so you do it. And it may not be an automatic return, but you start the season. And as you give, and as you're faithful, and as you put God first, then God begins to work in the seasons and the events of your life, and God begins to bring financial favor into your life. He prospers you. In many ways that God prospers us is He keeps things from happening. I remember when we were raising the boys, it's like their clothes just wouldn't wear out. We were almost like the children of Israel in the wilderness. Amen. They just kept going. They did. There were just a lot of things we didn't have to do. When the church wasn't able to pay us that much, the church was small. And God's hand was on us. We also had a time, we had some people in the church that were blessed financially. And just so happened that they had sons who were ahead of our sons. And they prospered in a way. They bought jeans we would have never bought. Why? They were stinking high. But they had a love for us. And this is just a favor of God. And so when their child outgrew those jeans, where do you think they went? They went to the greenhouse hole. Let me tell you something. When my boy stepped out of the house in those jeans, you'd have thought we'd just bought them because they were well taken care of. You know what it was? It was the hand of God on our lives. Does that make sense? Just God's favor, right? We're not too proud to glory in that. We received it. And that was one of the ways God blessed our lives. This brings me to number six, and that's two questions to guide our lives. So let me just wrap this up. Question number one, what can I learn in this season? That's what I want you to ask yourself. God, what can I learn in this season of my life? Now, Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 2. Moses was recounting to Israel. They were on the brink of going into Canaan. And God showed them everything that He had done for them and to them. Why? Because this was their pattern. They would follow God, and then they would rebel, and then God would discipline, and then they'd come back. And they'd follow Him, and then they'd rebel, and then God would discipline them, and then they'd come back. And so He says in Deuteronomy 11, 2, I'm not speaking to your children who haven't learned from God the wisdom of obedience and the folly of rebellion. And then He says this. He says, remember what you have learned about the Lord through your experiences with Him. What God is saying is, understand, my children, the seasons of your life are tests. They are tests from the Lord. Life is a test, and it is preparation for eternity. God has just put me through another test. You know what my test was? That this church that I love so much, that God said, I gave it to you. And when I tell you to let go of it, are you going to obey me? That was my test. Will you let go and will you step back? I promoted you, and now I want you to step here. That was my test. In every season, there is a lesson to learn. And if you don't learn it, then you get to go through the test again and again and again. So the question is, what does God want us to learn in the seasons of life? Well, there are a lot of things, but there's one overarching thing, and this is what I've learned again. Let me give it to you. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 9. This happened that we might learn to trust not in ourselves, but in God. God said, I want you to learn again, John, to trust me. I want you to learn again to trust me. You don't know what the future is, but I want you to trust me. Guys, there's going to be times in your life that every leg you stand on is going to be knocked out from under you. And you're going to feel like you're flat on your back. There are going to be days when you don't feel like you're able to see a foot in front of you. What does God want for you from you in the days when it doesn't make sense, when you can't understand, when you can't see what your next step is going to be? What does God want? God wants you to trust Him. And the truth in your outline, you'll never know God is all you need until He's all you've got. So the question is, are you living a life of trust? Do you trust Him with your life, your family, and your future? Now let me close with this. Number two, how can I help others in this season of life? That's what I want you to do. The Bible is very clear. No child of God is here to live just for themselves. Listen to Ephesians 2 and 10. You were created for a life of good works. Listen, God gave you and me abilities, talents, and energy to help other people. We aren't here to be selfish little clods who just get everything from God and then we just kind of sit on it and we keep it all to ourselves. Jesus healed the sick, comforted the grieving, fed the hungry, gave hope to the hopeless. And a lot of us plan to do good things. When? When things kind of settle down. You know, when things settles down, when life settles down, then I do that. You know, I'm not going to get in ministry, but I will when things settle down. I'm going to get involved in my church when things settle down. I'm going to start helping in a charity. I'm going to help people. I'm going to lead a life group when things settle down. Here's your insight. Things never settle down. They call that life. That means if you don't serve now, you'll probably die never having served others for Christ's sake. There will always be something screaming for your attention. Always. You got to make a decision. Whenever, Proverbs 3:27, whenever you're able, do good to people who need help. There will always be something saying you don't have time. You don't have the energy. Here's the truth in the outline. The secret to happiness is service. Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to what? Serve. And give His life a ransom for many. We've got so many opportunities here on the hill for you to serve. We need you. I just envision, and we are way down the road, I envision our parking lot, just people out there more and more greeting, welcoming people who come, having the best smile on their face. Why? Because of what you know God is doing here on the hill. People serving up here on the hill. And thank you so much for those of you who've responded in ministry to children. Thank you for that. We still need life groups to be formed. There are ways, there are places for you to serve. The choir, the orchestra. There's so many places. Find your place. Let's bow together as we go to the Lord. I pray that whatever season that you're in, if it's a season of doubt, of confusion, a season of darkness, that you'll trust Him. You'll trust Him that God's doing the work and you wait before Him. Father, I'm here. I want to hear you. I want to do what you want me to do. But above everything else, I'm going to trust you in this season. So let's bow together. Father, thank you this morning. God, thank you for the word. Thank you for where you've brought each of us. That you've taught us, Lord, there are seasons of our life just like there's seasons in life. And each of us is in some kind of season. We're being tested. It's either super difficult or maybe more mild, but it's a test. How will we trust you when things are hard? And will we be faithful when times are good? Or will we be drawn away and wander? So, Father, we pray today that this word will not be soon taken out of our heart, but that we'll learn from this. And by this Thanksgiving season, there will be a true heart of gratitude to you that you are with us and life has a purpose and a plan. So thank you now. Go with us as we leave this place of worship. We love you. We pray that you will open our hearts to understand you more and that we will grow in this season we find ourselves in. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you. You're dismissed this morning.